Data is boring for most marketers, but absolutely critical so we don't become victims to our own echo chambers or confirmation biases. It's so exciting to believe in our new ideas enthusiastically, but without data to test if our ideas are effective, we can spin our wheels creating something that isn't actually working. I'm Amy Porterfield, ex-corporate girl turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business. But it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today. One that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible. One that used to only exist as a daydream. I created the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies to help you do the same. If you're an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making who's looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life you love, you're in the right place, friend. Let's get started. Welcome back to Online Marketing Made Easy. I'm your host, Amy Porterfield, and in today's episode, we're getting real about what it takes to stand out in the wild world of online marketing. And to do that, I'm pulling back the curtain to take you inside the inner workings of my own marketing department. Now, my marketing department is made up of some incredible humans who help me, to be honest, they push me to experiment with new strategies and to learn and iterate and execute and lead the charge when it comes to launching my programs online. Now, one of my main goals and the reason I want to record this episode is to show you how my team and I navigate the ever-evolving world of marketing trends without falling prey to that all-too-tempting shiny object syndrome issue, because it's so easy to switch gears so quickly and go after this and that and this. And we don't do that. And I want to share with you how we stay out of that crazy cycle. And truth be told, it's easy to get dazzled by every new social network or the latest marketing strategy that you see someone trying. But here's the thing. As marketers, to succeed and stand out online, we can't let these new trends distract us from what we do best. At the same time, it's important not to get stuck in our old ways just because they're familiar. It's all about striking the perfect balance of being flexible enough to adapt and innovate, yet grounded enough to stay true to the core strategies that work. So I asked members of my marketing team to help me unpack this concept, and I can't wait to share their answers. So here are the four strategies we're going to cover today based on what my marketing team has shared with me. First, we're diving into how mastering data-driven refinement drives our creativity. Next up, we'll talk about why adopting the rinse and repeat method is our secret to having bigger, more impactful launches. Then we'll dive into our 360 marketing mindset and break down why you should adopt it in your own business. And finally, we're going to explore how building our success is all about having a solid off-season strategy that sets us up for wins year-round. And when I think about what drives the heartbeat of this department and these four strategies that we use, it's the mantra, "I'll go first." This isn't just a phrase, it's a promise to our community and to you, my friend, that we'll continue to test what works and what doesn't and teach you what we learn. And even though I've been running an online business for 15 years now, trust me when I say these strategies are completely applicable to a new entrepreneur as well. So don't you worry. Throughout this episode, I'll break down how you can adapt these strategies for your business no matter where you are in your journey, even if you are a team of one. So grab your favorite notebook, get cozy, and let's dive in. To kick off today's episode, I have a question for you. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by all the different tasks that you have to do as a marketer? And just to be clear, if you own a business or you're building a business, you are a marketer. So I'm talking to you, my friend. Do you ever feel super overwhelmed by all the tasks? And I mean about the constant balancing act of switching between analysis, creative thinking, copywriting, graphic design, project management, all within the same day. I think it's a lot of hats to wear and it can feel really overwhelming at times. But here's a little insider tip. Focusing on data can significantly reduce your overwhelm and decision fatigue, all while increasing your creativity. Which brings us to the first strategy from my team, mastering data-driven refinement to increase creativity. We're going to explore this through the eyes of my head of Evergreen. His name is Chachi. So Chachi, which is like the greatest name ever, right? Chachi is the mastermind behind optimizing my Evergreen funnels. And he emphasizes the importance of understanding key data points to inform all his creative decisions. These are things like conversion rates, sales page views, and opt-ins. Now, we don't have time to dive into all of these metrics today, but if you're eager to learn more, I want you to check out an episode I did. It was just episode 587. It was titled Overwhelmed by Marketing Metrics, Learn Which Ones I Track and Why. And I'll link to it in the show notes, but you can get to it easily, amyporterfield.com/587. So that's where I break down all the metrics. /587. But Chachi emphasizes the following key point that I wholeheartedly recommend that you adopt when it comes to using data to spark creativity. It's all about collecting enough data to meaningfully inform your decisions. So this is important because sometimes we feel like we're fully guessing, right? Or just throwing spaghetti at the wall. This is to take away some of that. So basically, it means patiently tracking your metrics until you've accumulated a significant sample size, ensuring any changes you make are well-grounded. So for example, when you measure the conversion rate of visitors to an opt-in page who sign up for, let's say, your email list, you want to aim to have at least 150 to 200 people view that page before tweaking it based on their behavior. This number gives you a solid baseline to work from. Once you have this baseline, the next step to improving the conversion rate, meaning the amount of people that sign up for your email list that visit your page, is setting a specific and realistic goal. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers here, and I know that you'll want to say like, well, what should the conversion be? I'm a big believer in setting your own benchmarks, meaning figure out where you're at, which we're talking about right here, and then increase from there instead of going after some nebulous number that you don't even know is accurate for your industry or your audience. So let's say that your lead magnet's opt-in page is converting at 10%. That means that 10% of the people who visit that page, they're going to enter their email address to download your lead magnet and get on your email list. So a great quarterly goal might be to increase this to 12%. So to achieve that goal, you'll make one change at a time and observe the impact. It might be as simple as tweaking the image, changing the color of your call to action button, or adjusting the copy of your headline. This is where you get to be creative. But the key is to focus on one element and make your tweak and then pause to analyze the data again. This way, you gain clear insights into what's working and what's not working. So I want you to resist the temptation to change multiple things at once. If you do, you won't know which change made the difference. So this takes patience. But then you're going to get so much great data that you're going to know what to do the next time you're looking to increase an opt-in page. Because once you nail down what works, then you can use that again next time. But also now you can move on to make another tweak to see if we can increase it to 14%. So it is a step-by-step process that's essential for making informed creative decisions. And Chachi sums up the strategy with a quote that I want to share with you. This is what he says. Data is boring for most marketers, but absolutely critical so we don't become victims to our own echo chambers or confirmation biases. It's so exciting to believe in our new ideas enthusiastically, but without data to test if our ideas are effective, we can spin our wheels creating something that isn't actually working. Chachi, very well said. I just love this because it really shows how data is more than just numbers. It's the narrative that keeps you honest and drives your business's creative growth and potential. And if you don't have a team or large numbers to base your data on, don't worry, because the heart of this strategy is still applicable. Being a solo entrepreneur with a smaller audience can be one of the most rewarding phases of your journey. It's a time when you often have direct personal connections with your audience, which is gold for feedback. So if you're finding it challenging to hit the baseline numbers that we just spoke about, like 150 to 200 people get their activity before you make any changes, just use this as a chance to personally connect with your subscribers. Reach out to those who joined your email list through your opt-in page. Send them a heartfelt note and inquire about how they discovered you. Ask questions like what prompted them to sign up and what their goals are related to your business. This kind of qualitative feedback is invaluable. It can guide your creative choices and help improve conversions even before your audience expands. As your numbers grow, you'll naturally shift towards more quantitative, data-driven decisions. Now remember, being a small business and facing constraints can actually ignite some of your most resourceful and creative ideas. And I believe that a resourceful mindset is one of the most important tools any entrepreneur can cultivate. So when you feel constrained by the numbers, try to reframe your perspective. Embrace these challenges as opportunities to create meaningful one-on-one touch points. And this is how you turn a limitation into a marketing superpower. All right, let's shift gears and dive into our second strategy, the rinse and repeat method. Ugh, if I were to get a tattoo about marketing, which I won't, but if I were, I think I would tattoo on my body, rinse and repeat, because this is my secret sauce to the success that I have in my business. So those that are leading the way in my marketing department, they rave about using this rinse and repeat method and how helpful it is to hit our revenue goals. And the key to this strategy starts with thinking of our years in terms of seasons. So every year we cycle through the same seasons, each with a different focus like list building, content creation, launching, and automation. And for my marketing team, the beauty of working in seasons is that we're not reinventing the wheel each time we enter into a new season. And that is a huge secret to success. Stop starting from scratch. Stop reinventing the wheel. It slows you down as an entrepreneur and it makes it really hard to make consistent revenue. So take our launch season, for example. We have a system where we consistently reapply what's been effective. We retain the strategies, the content, and messaging that have been proven successful. And then my marketing team helps me infuse fresh ideas into areas where we see room for improvement. This approach allows us to build on our successes while continually evolving and refining our methods. So let's zoom in on the launch season. While we always experiment with new tactics, we have three tried and true components that form the backbone of each launch. They are the pre-launch runway, the 10-day cart open period, and surveying our audience for feedback. So pre-launch runway, 10-day cart open period, and surveying our audience for feedback. These elements ensure that each launch builds on the lessons learned and the wins gained from the previous launch. So I'm going to briefly break down these different phases, starting with the pre-launch runway. So this phase is one we will never skip in a live launch. This phase is all about sparking excitement and building awareness. I call it priming the pump to get them ready for whatever it is you're going to promote. It's the time when we ramp up our social media efforts, ensuring that everything we discuss is in alignment with the messaging and topic of the upcoming offer. And our main focus is on expanding our email list, which we achieve by heavily promoting our lead magnets on social media. So when you think of pre-launch runway, think of growing your email list. That literally is the main goal here. Now, we use social media heavily to do that, and our posts are strategically crafted to address a key question. What does someone need to know, understand, or believe to become the kind of person who would invest in this offer? I call that the golden question. What do they need to know, understand, or believe before they're ever ready to buy from you? This approach helps prepare my audience not just to be interested, but to be ready to enroll in my course, which is, of course, my offer. So from there, we transition from the pre-launch runway into the 10-day cart open. Now, a pre-launch runway usually runs about 30 days. I've done 60 days. It feels heavy and never ending. So 30 days is kind of the sweet spot, maybe 45 max. So you get out of the pre-launch runway, and then we transition into the 10-day cart open period. And this is when I present my offer live. Now, during these 10 days, our focus sharpens. This means every social media post and every email we send for 10 days is strategically crafted to guide our audience toward enrolling in our webinars. So we rely heavily on webinars. I have for 15 years, and they're still just as powerful for establishing trust and creating connections that help lead people to know if my offer is right for their goals. Inside Digital Course Academy, which is my signature program I offer every September, I have an entire module where I walk you through slide by slide to do a high converting webinar. It's a really big part of what I teach when people want to promote courses or memberships. Now, I really believe in webinars because, again, I think they're such a great way to offer value and build that trust and then lead into selling. And here's the thing, I've noticed a consistent trend over the years. Directing someone straight to a sales page tends to yield lower conversions compared to if they attend a live webinar first. So I would never do a launch where I just send out an email or post it on social and told people to go to a sales page. Like, that would never happen in my world. I will always send them to what I call a marketing vehicle or a sales vehicle is what I should say. A sales vehicle is a webinar, a boot camp, a challenge, a three-part video series like Jeff Walker teaches. That's a sales vehicle. And I would always use a sales vehicle and then from that sales vehicle, drive them to a sales page. So for me, it's webinars all day long. Because these webinars are where potential students learn, connect with you, engage with you and others in the comments, and they get to ask questions, which makes a huge difference in their decisions to enroll in my course. I could get off track here and go deep into webinars, but I actually just did a podcast episode all about webinars. So I want you to go visit that if you're intrigued at all. I'll link to that episode in the show notes. So if you just go to amyporterfield.com/668, which is the number of this episode, all the things I'm talking about, I'll link to all of those resources and other episodes in the show notes. I know you're focused on marketing and selling your digital products, but I know many of you also have physical products, and I want to talk about Shopify. Shopify is a user-friendly commerce platform that helps you, my dear online entrepreneur, build an online store and make more sales at any stage of your business. They're the force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses at every size. Let me tell you why Shopify is an online entrepreneur's dream platform. It's because it helps turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout experience. In fact, it converts 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. Yeah, loving that. And I don't know about you, but as an online entrepreneur, my customer's experience, especially when it comes to checking out, is so important. Plus, not only do they support your customers, they support you as the entrepreneur. Shopify's award-winning help desk is there to support your success through every question and every step of the way. There's a reason Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/made easy, all lowercase. So go to shopify.com/made easy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/made easy. We are online marketers, which means we have unique needs. And there are so many options out there for paid media. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where should you go to reach your ideal audience. But here's the thing. Have you thought about LinkedIn ads? LinkedIn ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers, and it allows you to build the right relationships and drive results and reach your customers with meaningful content. You do not want to sleep on LinkedIn ads. And here's the thing, 79% of content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. I hear it from so many of my peers. And I know you're doing important work. And with that, you want to make sure that the work you're doing is getting in front of the right people. And that's what LinkedIn ads will allow you to do. So let your marketing efforts connect with the right audience and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. So if you go to linkedin.com/Amy, you can get that $100 credit. So that's linkedin.com/Amy. Terms and conditions apply. Now, towards the end of the 10-day cart open period, we do shift gears and start directing people to the sales page, but that's because they've likely been on a webinar or in a boot camp with me, or they've been on a live video. So they're aware of Digital Course Academy. So near the end of a launch, I'm comfortable sending people, let's say from social or from an email to a sales page. But the majority of this phase, like 90% of it, our primary call to action is to join me for a value-packed webinar. And I've also started to do boot camps that lead into webinars, and those are really valuable as well. So we've done the pre-launch runway, then the cart open period. From there, once the cart closes and you can't get into my program anymore, we pivot to one of the most informative phases, one that I think most people skip, which is surveying our audience for feedback. This is the moment that we reach out to those in my audience who did not enroll in my course. We use a survey to understand their hesitations and objections. The insight we gather here is gold. It enables us to sharpen our strategies, improve our messaging, and enhance our offer, making it even more compelling for the next launch. Now, we take these learnings and we apply them to refine everything from our pre-launch methods to our sales copy and everything in between. This step is pivotal in our process, ensuring that with each launch, we're not just repeating what we did before, but constantly improving and raising the bar. Now, with 15 years under my belt, my launch strategy has evolved, adding layers like what I mentioned, a boot camp and extra live training sessions. Yet at its core, what's really driven my success is focusing and repeating this foundation, a strategic pre-launch runway, a focused 10-day cart open period, and a commitment to continually seek feedback. These elements work. And if I were to go back to the beginning, I'd adopt the same system without a second thought. It's proven, reliable, and doable as a solo entrepreneur as well. It truly has been the key to my success. And before we move on, I want to share some tools that my team loves that make executing this rinse and repeat launch possible. First up, my copywriter, Emery, she swears by our email grids. I have to give a big shout out to my former sidekick, Chloe, who, if you are an OG, you've heard me talk about Chloe a million times. She came up with these email grids, and thank God Emery has perfected them and she's kept them going because they are paramount to our success. So these are simple Google spreadsheets that outline every single email that we send during the launch. It includes details like the send date for each email, and who the audience is, because we segment our emails. We also have columns to track subject lines and provide a brief description of each email's purpose. So this helps us keep a clear overview of our messaging strategy without having to sift through every email. Now, after the launch, we fill in the columns on the email grid for tracking email stats like open rates and click-through rates. So this is crucial for post-launch analysis that helps us decide which emails we can reuse for a rinse and repeat and which need to be tweaked and reworked for our next launch because they didn't do as well. By reusing emails from launch to launch, we avoid reinventing the wheel each time. Believe me, my friend, incorporating an email grid into your launch process and actually taking the time to fill in the metrics of how those emails perform during your launch, this will simplify your life and save you a ton of time for your next launch. Another key component in our rinse and repeat strategy is a gem from Missy, my incredibly talented graphic designer. Her approach is what we call templatize as you go. So essentially, whenever Missy designs a new sales page or opt-in page, she does it with an eye on the future. Each page is crafted to be more than a one-off design. She builds it as a flexible template with design blocks that can easily adapt to different offers. So this approach is a major time saver for us, and it also helps to keep our branding beautifully consistent across all of our materials. Most importantly, it allows us to continuously refine and reuse our most successful elements in future launches. And I'm going to give you a great resource right now. So if you're busy driving around, I'll put it in the show notes, but this is good. So this idea of templatizing sales pages or opt-in pages so you don't always have to reinvent the wheel, one of my favorite tools is Tonic. So if you go to amyporterfield.com/tonic, I'm literally going to go there right now while I'm recording this, because if you go there, you'll see that there are so many options for templates for opt-in pages, websites, and they're drag and drop, super easy for you to create, and they look amazing. And we use them first for my book launch. So if you saw any of my branding for the book launch, all of that was done using Tonic templates. And then now we're moving our entire website over to a Tonic template, which I'm really excited for. So anyway, amyporterfield.com/tonic. If you want to make your life a whole lot easier and templatize a lot of your pages so that your designs look consistent, go check it out. Okay, so back to what I was saying. That, in a nutshell, everything I just went over, that's how we do the rinse and repeat method in our marketing department. So this brings us to our third strategy today, the 360 marketing mindset. This mindset is about how marketing is not just promotion, it's about connection. It's infused throughout customer support and product development and the culture of your brand. For example, I often hear glowing reviews about my team. They come from students praising my customer support and from vendors and partners commenting on how delightful my operations team is to work with. One of our contractors that does copywriting, years ago, she wrote an article about how wonderful it is to work with my team. Now, that's not me. That is totally my team. And I feel really proud about that. And I believe that that's marketing at its best. The dedication and genuine care my team exhibits are integral parts of my brand and online reputation. So remember, whether you're responding to an email, engaging with a student in your community, or working with a vendor, it all contributes to your marketing. It's not just about crafting the perfect social media post. It's about nurturing a living, breathing brand that's consistently felt in every interaction. So let me give you a real life example from my team that takes this 360 marketing mindset even further. In a recent launch of a bootcamp that I run every year called Subscribed, we had an FAQ page for potential enrollees, people that wanted to get into the bootcamp. So this is where we post answers to the most commonly asked questions that my students have and to try and proactively give them a space to learn more. So this page is created and run by my customer experience team. So this year, we decided to add a more personal element to this page. I recorded audio responses to some of the most frequently asked questions that we've encountered. This innovation emerged from the collaboration between my customer experience team and my marketing team. So when my marketing team noticed the trend that students are more likely to enroll in my program when they've interacted with me during live webinars, they thought, well, why not extend that personal touch to other areas of our business as well? So they took action and they reached out to my customer experience team to set this up. And in a world increasingly dominated by AI written content, I think that these personal touches, like me recording answers to commonly asked questions and people can click a button and hear my voice, I think that makes your brand stand out in big ways. So I want to encourage you to infuse personal touches into your marketing and your customer support, even if you're a team of one. So for instance, if you're responding to a student's email, consider adding a personal audio message to your reply. Or if you're collaborating regularly with a vendor or a contractor, why not deepen that relationship and send a handwritten thank you note to show your appreciation for their work? I think embracing a 360 marketing mindset means being so deeply connected and proud of the product or service that you've created that when it's time to market and sell, you're all in. You know that product's value and you can't wait to share it with the world. Build something you're proud of and let that pride shine through in every aspect of your marketing. And that means it extends beyond your marketing department. Okay, moving on to our fourth and final strategy today, building success with our foundational off-season strategy. I'm a firm believer that the true success of your launch is determined by what you do when you're not launching. I like to call this the off-season. So think of the off-season like this. It's those weekly podcast episodes where you're dishing out value without expecting anything in return. It's the social media posts where you share insights and helpful tips. And it's the stories you tell on live videos and Instagram stories where you're just there to connect and engage and share. These are actions that build awareness and trust with your followers. And it gives you the opportunity to earn the right to promote later. I often look at selling and promoting online as though I've earned that right to introduce them to the next step because I've given immense value and created the connection first. So one of the ways that I've heard this described best is in the context of dating. So when you go on a first date with someone, you don't ask them to marry you right away, right? This would lead to a quick, no, thank you, and most likely no follow-up dates. So if you spend time getting to know someone on a date, engaging in meaningful conversations, demonstrating your trustworthiness over a year, then when you propose, a yes is far more likely. So this principle applies to your offer as well. Most people are hesitant to buy from you if their first interaction is a sales pitch. So instead, focus on building a relationship, establishing credibility, and earning their trust over time. That's the foundation for successful conversions. So let's talk specifics about what my marketing team and I do during the off season. First, we batch create original weekly content like this podcast to connect with you. My team helps me brainstorm topics for the podcast with the goal being to inspire, empower, and educate in a way that gets you into action. And then next, we send out a weekly email newsletter letting people know about our new podcast each week. And I work with my copywriter to tell a story about the content and why it's relevant to my listeners. I've also been working on infusing more helpful tidbits and personal details about my business and my life into each newsletter. So if you haven't opened one of my newsletters recently, do so because you might find some extra tips about personal stuff that I'm loving as well, just to kind of infuse a little extra connection in there. So my marketing team manages my email calendar, ensuring that these emails go out to my subscribers every single week. And a little hint, we might be working on a brand new, different kind of newsletter. So stay tuned, make sure you're on my email list because I'm very excited about what's to come. So if you're not subscribed, just go to amyporterfield.com/podcast, and that will get you signed up to my weekly newsletters. And then you'll see kind of how they change over the next few months because we've got something brewing. So my podcast isn't just for engaging an existing audience. It's a powerful tool for building awareness too. So my social media manager also leaves space on our social calendar to post about my new podcast episodes. I always think that weekly original content like a podcast, it does two things. One, it engages and connects with the audience you've already attracted. And two, it casts a wide net to bring more people into your world. So if you need a little encouragement of why you should be creating either a weekly blog, a weekly podcast, or a weekly video show, it's to nurture the audience you have and attract an audience you don't yet have into your community. And yes, it really can be that simple. This is the same strategy that I've used when I was a team of one. And while my content has become more polished and I have the help of a marketing team, I'm living proof that you can set this up as a one-woman or one-man show. Remember, start simple, get fancy later. And there you have it. Four strategies my marketing team and I use that help us to stay true to our core strengths while we continue to test and iterate and improve our methods. So let's quickly recap each strategy and how you can get into action with it before we part ways today. Are you ready? First, mastering data-driven refinement to increase creativity. This is where you'll start by tracking simple metrics like opt-in conversions for a landing page. You're going to use these insights to tweak your creative content and your offers. Do this one element at a time and continue to make changes based on the data you see. Next, you're going to use the rinse and repeat method. Make sure you're not reinventing the wheel all the time, which is slowing you down and keeping you stuck with making more money. So set up a structured launch system and document what worked well and what missed the mark each launch so you can replicate and improve next time. If you are interested, pay attention to when I launch Digital Course Academy in September, because that is my rinse and repeat method, the entire system from start to finish. Next up, implementing the 360 marketing mindset. So focus on building personal connections. Even if it's just responding personally to customer emails or vendors, make each interaction count towards building your brand. And last, build success with a foundational off-season strategy. Use your quieter times to batch create your value-based weekly content. Send it out like clockwork to your email subscribers and your social followers. I encourage that you do this the same day and the same time every single week. So your blogs or podcasts, they're there to build trust and rapport with your audience, but they're also there to cast a wider net and get more people into your world so that when you're ready to promote, they are ready to buy. Remember, these strategies only work if you're willing to get brave and take action. So keep pushing forward, stay true to your vision, and watch as your marketing efforts transform your business. My friend, you've got this. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Online Marketing Made Easy. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.